We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh man. All good things must come to an end. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge. Man, it's been so long you forgot what you do when we're in the Losers Lounge.
I know, I just started making noises.
You just did start making some noises. Nuggets fall 101-99. They get mundered, but they also almost munder the Thunder.
Okay.
They almost munder the Thunder.
All right. Things are looking up.
But instead, the Thunder munder the Nuggets.
Thunder munder.
They get them 101-99. No Jokic, no Michael Porter Jr. The Nuggets still almost got it done. I was so ready for I think that the basketball gods knew. My vibes would have been too, it would have been too much.
You needed to be knocked down a peg.
It's so true. It's like, you know, my kids, when they've had like a piece of cake, and then a bowl of ice cream, and then some candy, yeah, and then they're like, can I have like, you know, like a sugary drink? I'm like, no. Yeah. You can't have them. They're like, why can't I? They don't know I'm saving them from themselves.
That's right. We are on an absolute sugar high from basketball currently.
So true. And the basketball coach was like, hey, you need a little break.
That's
you need
right,
a little
man.
Bit of a break. Here's some water.
Time out.
Yeah. I got D-Line Co. with me over here.
Let's go, guys. Can't win them all. Make some goddamn free throws.
Wow, that really turned quickly, but also appropriately. And then over there on the far side, I've got Superstar Dev.
I think I came upstairs and went into the wrong lounge.
I went to the winner's lounge?
I have not been here in a long, long time.
You read the door
it
wrong.
It was darker on this side.
It's rough.
To get in, you had to shoot a free throw and make it, and unfortunately, we not invited. None of us. We are presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Did we make money today, at least?
Sadly, we did.
Sadly, we did?
Sadly, we did.
I mean, you're right about spitting on Shea, man. Like... How high is that line got to be for us to not take Shea points when they play the Nuggets?
Well, they need to stop putting it at 30 for Denver. Like, it's just a check. They put it under 30. I was like, okay. All right now.
You're like, what do you think is going to happen here? He gets to that spot. He turns over and he shoots. Let's do a fast breakdown real quick just to kind of remind ourselves of our own misery. 7-0 start for the Thunder. Nuggets off to a really, really tough one to begin this one. And the Nuggets offense looked rough. They had 12 points like more than halfway through the quarter.
I swear to God, their vibes were weird to start this game, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Porter news came out right before tip.
I mean, that's a big and heavy thing, man.
I personally felt I was like, oh man, like that's one of those, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it really might be. Offensive rebounds were going to be big because the Thunder were in that zone, and Denver wasn't getting like all game. The Thunder are really smart. They're proof of concept that length is as important as defense, and they have smart players. They've drafted smart. Long, and their guards are just enormous. Shea is enormous. Giddy's enormous, like lengthwise. And so it's hard to get like dribble penetration. It's hard to get the ball popping. They just clog things up, man. And Denver really had a hard time. So what becomes extra important? Hustle plays, transition, defense and getting out on the break, and then offensive boards, second chance points. It's hard to make them get scrambled, so you have to find ways when they are scrambled. And Denver wasn't doing it. 18 points for Denver is a season low in the first quarter. Can you believe it?
Brutal.
A season low. 27-18 Oklahoma City. And then the second quarter, even more of a slog.
Wow.
That's my note here. I went from as a brutal first to slog of a second. Nuggets defense, though, was playing very well, I thought. They settled down. Nothing easy for them. Nothing easy for Denver. It was a tough... This was a puncher's game. AG in particular, I thought, struggled early on in this game offensively. Him and Murray both, I thought, looked fatigued at parts. Now, Murray played very well. He was carrying Denver offensively, but I thought he looked tired. And then Shea was just giving the business to everyone. Denver was, like, rotating through different guys. Dev, you know, you ever, what is it, King of the Court? Where if you score, you stay, and then a new defender comes on?
Just that's what it looked like. Everywhere. It's like he's one of the best in the NBA, I think, at it.
Quick ATA, Memphis loss. Okay, go.
Well, there's our silver lining. Third quarter, Murray carrying the O once again. Z had two block shots in that third quarter. It was big time. I thought this was a coming out party for Zeke Nnaji. But then the free throws misses were starting to pile up. The second half, man, bro, it was just like, do you believe that missing free throws can be contagious? Like psychologically?
Yes. I think that, there's no other part in basketball where you have all of this time to sit and think about things. Like if you get in your head, like free throws are the place it seems like it shows itself the most. It's like you're alone, you're dribbling the ball, you're like, all right, come on. And man, it was rough.
Jamal Murray only missed one. Bruce Brown went 0 of 2. Zeke Nnaji went 4 of 8. Aaron Gordon, 6 of 13. Oof. Just a little bit of everybody, man, just missing free throws tonight. 10-0 run for Oklahoma City. That was, like I said, over that stretch where Denver was missing free throws. And then Shea just getting to a spot. 81-74 Thunder. And you're starting to feel a little hopeless because you're down 7. Fourth quarter. Big dunk from Christian Brown, and it was and-1. He's a good and-1 dunker. Have you noticed? Coming from the corner, guys challenge him. He dunks it and gets the and-1. I feel like he's had 3 or 4 of those this year. Josh Giddey was great in this game. I thought he was the X factor. Jamal and Shea kind of canceled each other out. Shea maybe outperformed Murray just a little bit. You know, he was a little bit better tonight. But you needed another guy. Like, who was the third best guy tonight? It was Giddey, I think. No questions asked. He was pretty dominant. Nuggets, again, staying close but can't hit free throws, so they keep not being able to close that gap the way they want. Zeke Nnaji grabbing all kinds of boards, defensive and offensive. We've seen him grab offensive boards before, but tonight he was actually doing his work on the defensive end, too. Got 7 defensive boards. Murray hit a 3. So at the end of the game, Murray hits a 3 to pull him within 1. And man, at that moment, I was certain the Nuggets were going to win.
It felt like it was like, oh, of course.
Here comes another ugly win.
Of course. Right. Like, what are we even complaining about?
But on the next play, Zeke Nnaji, the Nuggets were playing such good defense in the clutch. Zeke Nnaji, for some reason, like Kenrich Williams gets the ball at the top of the key. And Zeke, I saw the whole play develop, and I'm like, Zeke, close out on him. They have nothing. Just like, he has to shoot it. And for some reason, he didn't. And they just gave him a wide open 3. Kenrich Williams is not a good 3-point shooter. Right. All you have to do is challenge him, and then you're good. But they gave him a wide open, get set your feet, take your time, and he hits it. Aaron Gordon gets a layup. Zeke Nnaji made 2 clutch free throws in the pressure cooker with 30 seconds left. And then Denver had 20 seconds of great defense.
Ugh.
Forced the Thunder to call a timeout.
Ugh.
I thought, oh my God, just get this one stop and you're going to have this.
I thought they stepped out of bounds.
I thought they did too. It was too loud. We couldn't hear. We thought, oh, there must have been a turnover. Nope, it's a timeout. Aaron Gordon just gets beat on a backdoor cut from Shea. Like, after all the good defense and all the goodwill, he gets beat on a pretty bad, like, you got to be better than that. Like, if that was a playoffs and you lost that way, you would be like, how do you beat 5 seconds on a sideline out of bounds?
It's like, shades of Mason Plumlee.
Shea's really slippery, though. I mean, he's a tough guard. And then Jamal Murray, last play, kind of dribbles. Like, it took 9. He had 9 seconds. Kind of used up all of them to get a tough shot.
That was not a great executed 9 seconds.
Have a lot of great defenders, though, man. Like, honestly, they have a lot of guys that just have a ton of length. And, like, Dort's a really, really good defender. Murray didn't get any separation from him. Shoots the fall away. And it was just short. It just came up short. All right, Dev. Nuggets drop one. What's your takeaway? Your big takeaway?
While last game was a Nikola Jokic type of basketball game, this was the very opposite of this. Just not executing late, missing free throws, defensive lapses like all over the court where they just didn't look like the team that we've been seeing for the last 9 games. This was like a step in the wrong direction. And I'm not going to say that it's a bad loss, but this was not a good loss because this was like a very winnable game despite the fact that they missed all the free throws, despite the fact that their second, third, you know, I mean, Jokic was not there, MPJ was not there, but still, Aaron Gordon was supposed to step up in this game, did not. Bones had the opportunity to lead the second unit, did not, and they still were right there. So I feel like that would be my take my takeaway, just a step in the wrong direction. And you want them to just continue to play Nuggets style of basketball because that would have won this game.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like they played a terrible game. Like some of the worst stretches of basketball we've seen in a really long time, and yet they still were one shot away from tying it, sending it in overtime. They were right there. Like the Nuggets have the resolve. I mean, this game shouldn't have been close. Like if they were, you know, the Nuggets of old, and they had this many missed free throws, this many mental lapses, this many like just bad ISO plays, just like lack of focus to start the game. But the fact that they were able to at least get it down to where, I mean, I legitimately thought they were going to win. It's like, you know, it's like, all right, whatever. You can't win every game. Obviously missing Jokic and MPJ and like the heaviness that was surrounding this game to start, like clearly took its toll. But to me, it's like, it is shows you that they're not perfect, but also that they have something. Like it just reminds you that even when the times are tough, like they're still like, you're not going to blow this team out.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like a little heartening, even though this game was an absolutely brutal watch.
There's a lot of silver linings to go that I think couldn't come out of this game, including, as you mentioned, that Memphis lost. We'll get to all of that here in a little bit. But to me, it was a winnable game, and I think that's part of what's going to like stick in our craw a little bit.
Stuck. My craw is full.
It is so full right now. My thought is that Denver really seems to just struggle with Shea, and I know everybody does, but Denver in particular, Denver has faced him so many times, and he gets the same point. I swear he scores 34 every game. It's not like he goes off for more than that, I guess, so maybe you could say that, but he just gets to his spot, and I know this isn't a Denver-specific thing. Shea's a great player, but there's a lot of great players, and you like to have something where you go, yeah, but we make it difficult for him in this way, you make it difficult in this way, and I just... Tonight you watched it and you were like, man, that was easy. That was really easy. It didn't matter who he was getting, which defender he was getting.
Although, man, he made some insane shots.
He's good, man.
He's really good.
But part of what makes him good is he's really tall. He's really like, he keeps his dribble alive and he keeps it away so you can't like steal it from him. So he kind of always has it. And then the moment he gets you like a little bit off balance, he just fades away and you're contesting it, but he's not contested. He's
Uses his size, but also he doesn't actually hunt out mismatches. He just goes at whoever's in front of him. Yeah. I think that's what makes him a little bit different. But it's that length. He can stop on dime and shoot a mid range where he just finishes at the rim, and a lot of them are and ones just because of how shifty he is. He's good, and Denver doesn't have an answer for him. Luckily for Denver, there's not a lot of just ISO heavy basketball players that just eat them alive like that. Maybe Luka. OKC seems to have Denver's number in those type of ways because I just think that it's just a matchup that doesn't work for their advantages. They attack the paint. They just destroy them in the paint. Denver doesn't have answers for that, and then he just gets off.
Yeah. The thing I'll say, though, this would be my real big takeaway. Denver did not have Porter, and they did not have Jokic. So you take away – Denver has a lot of ways they can beat you, especially when they're the more talented team, which Denver clearly is, like, top to bottom more talented team. So they're already down two guys. I don't think you could afford a bad game from anybody. I thought Murray had a good game. I thought Bruce Brown had a good game. I thought Zeke had a good game. I thought KCP did. Yep. I thought Aaron Gordon had a pretty bad game tonight. It was the one difference. Like, he went 4 of 15 tonight, 6 of 13 from the foul line. He did. I mean, the stat line's fine. 15, 10, 1, 2 steal, 1 block. Like, he did a little bit of everything. But the scoring, he had so many shots at the rim he couldn't get. He just had plays. And then defensively. And I think when you're down that many guys, you can afford – when you're full health, you can afford one or two guys to have a bad game. Denver survives. When you're down this many guys, you just needed everyone. And to me, that was like he was the guy tonight that just didn't have it.
Him and also Bones had an absolutely terrible night, like just added nothing. And actually didn't – more so than adding nothing was a deterrent. He took away. Like he was so bad defensively. I'm just like
– He stood out. The dunk Jalen Williams had on him was like – if a guy ISOs you and you're in front of him, like you're face to face, and he gets all the way to the rim to where it's like a dunk, like a standstill vertical dunk, it's like, man, that's not, you didn't just get beat to the hole. You got, that's a
and
big
like
time.
He just, he's not shooting anymore. Like, he's got a He's in refocus. Yeah, he's got to recenter.
Let's get to Bones here a little bit later. I did want to bring up though Jamal Murray tonight. He only shot 11 of 23, which I know is below 50%, but I still thought he was really good tonight. 26, 5, and 9. This was a slog. This is a game where I thought Murray was good individually, but it didn't translate to good offensive process. But I think that's because Oklahoma City is so good defensively. Like, it would have been a lot to ask. Denver with just a 111 offensive rating is probably one of their lower offenses of night. How do you evaluate his night, Dev?
I feel like he took this matchup personally, as far as like he tried everything to get himself going and get the team going, and no one else rallied behind that.
Yeah.
I'm not upset about the fact that he shot 23 shots in the game. You want your best player, especially down guys, to feel confident taking those shots, feel confident trying to compete and putting the team in a situation where they can score, and he did. Not only did he take 23 shots in this game, he had 9 assists. So the assist is still there. He's getting the ball in his hands, and he's not, like, deferring to other guys. This is his team. It's great. I mean, when Jokic is not there. And it's great to just see him feel like, I can be that guy, and like I can do those things.
So it's like how this is Vogt's podcast. If Adam's not here.
Yeah, exactly just like that. But yeah, like I really do think that he was aggressive, and I think that the process wasn't there sometimes, and especially late. I feel like, you know, they didn't execute and it was on him. But if other people would have stepped up in this game, this would have been a good game for him, and we would have been talking about this in a completely different way.
I agree.
So he tried to get them a win, so I don't think that it was that bad of a game.
No, I wanted more out of him, though, honestly. Yeah. Like, I wanted him to be more, to take command more like he'd been doing, like he did last game, like he did the other time when Jokic was out. Like, he started to a little bit, and then, like, he would go through periods where he was disappearing a little bit and being a little that not quite shot-ready version of Jamal, which you get sometimes confusingly. I just felt like if we would have gotten like one Murray flurry, like one like 2-3 minute stretch where it was just like he hits a three, he gets a steal, he hits a three, you know, like that vintage Jamal thing, which we haven't like fully gotten since he's been like on the mend and come back around. But, you know, I mean, I'm not upset at any Nuggets players tonight. I mean, it's a heavy task to win in the NBA, missing two of your top three players. We know this very clearly from the last 2 years of watching basketball. And they were right there in the end. There's a lot of things to nitpick, obviously. I mean, this was not a well-played game, but they were there, man. They were right there at the end.
How do you, grouping these two games together, though, how do you kind of judge Murray's? Here's the thing I'm getting at. 3 games ago, I thought Murray was too passive in his first half, and I was frustrated. I was very frustrated. And then the second half, he came back and was spectacular in the clutch. He was spectacular. The last game, his first triple double from start to finish, spectacular. Tonight, it's hard because I actually think he was good. Like, this is not one where I would critique his approach or anything. But if we kind of just these two games without Jokic, how would you evaluate him as a leader without Jokic on the court?
I think just doing what Denver is asking of him. Each night, what's needed, they needed him to be able to fill up the box score, missing Jokic last game. So he got rebounds. He made sure to get everyone else involved and get the ball popping. In this game, they needed scoring.
Yep.
He had 9 assists in this game, and they got mundered. You know, so like
26 and he also to 9, scored. Yeah.
Like, so he attributed to like a lot of their pretty, like, it's probably a high percentage, but he's doing what's asked of him. And in different ways. I don't think that, like, really, I think that this was a good game from him. Yeah. It just didn't go in Denver's direction, so it made it look like it wasn't a great game from him.
Eric, it's physically and mentally exhausting to be the guy.
Yep.
And I think the thing about Jokic is, remember he'd have emotional funk games, and they would happen randomly. Like, he'd have, like, 8 great games in a row, and then one game he'd come out, and you'd just be like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? He's moping up and down the court. And over time, it's like something clicked into him where he just was like, this is my lot. I feel like he still has emotionally the same feel of like just annoyance sometimes. Yeah. But there's no let up. He just now is like accepted and embraced it. And I kind of feel like this is a stretch where Murray is starting to, I hope, but I actually see it happening, where he's like, this is what it means to be the leader and the best player. Is you just have to, when you're feeling shitty, you still have to be the best one there.
Definitely, and he hasn't had that many opportunities to be that guy when in the Denver. I mean,
but it's true, like, even when Yoke's there, he's got to be that.
But it's less so. I mean, it's like tonight, if, like Dev was saying, I mean, if you would have gotten this performance out of Jamal Murray and Jokic was there,
they would have
crushed.
Lot,
they would have crushed them, and it would, we would have been like really, you know, praising the game from Murray. It's, you know, one game away, one game removed from him being like that absolute unquestioned leader, where we're like, oh man, this guy's taking on that floor general role. He's like barking at his teammates. He's like getting guys riled up, like, in, you know, like getting everybody moving in the right direction. And I didn't feel that. Like, I felt like he was the best player on the floor that we had, but he wasn't bringing everybody with him. It was like he was doing his thing for the most part, and he was kind of hoping other people would come along with him, as opposed to being the leader. And I think that comes from, I mean, that's just like something you learn. Like you're saying, I mean, Jokic came to that place. It took him a long time, even though he always had the same level of skill. It just is, I think it's exhausting.
It's one of my favorite things, though, about following a team, like, over the rhythms of this. Because, you know, there's people that, like, will tune into a team like, oh, I'll watch the NBA after Christmas, or I'll do this, or I'll, like,
when they watch a game in the last 2 minutes.
Oh, I haven't watched or even just the, like, oh, I haven't been watching them because I knew they were bad, but they're good now, so I'll start tuning in. Like, when you watch an entire team's rhythm, God. I'm this way with other sports. This isn't I'm just saying, like, one of the joys of doing this with a team like the Nuggets is you see these areas of growth. And for me, this is the part where Murray's at. And it is, like, Jokic has already surpassed it. Now he's a 2-time MVP. Murray, to me, is like, this is his mountain he's climbing, is this, like, consistency, both of approach, of outcome, but also of approach, and like, and it sucks. Like, honestly, the great players, they really are burdened. They get a lot, dude. But they're burdened with that.
Yeah, dude. Like, listen, in my very menial life and my very menial job, where I have to, like, oversee many people making creative decisions, like, and I, like, they have to go through me, I'm like, can't you guys figure this out? And, like, there's something about, like, it coming to you. You have to be the guy, in a sense. I hate it. I'm terrible at it. Like, if I, as a creative director, was on the Denver Nuggets, I would have been Aaron Gordon tonight. just missing dunks, like, mad at just no free throws.
Free throws were just always on. What's the equivalent of free throw misses for you?
Just like allowing things to go out that I see something's wrong, but I'm like, I don't want to. It's just put it out.
I think it'd more be spelling errors. Like, you just proofread your work, Eric. Come on,
you're supposed to get that. Supposed to be easy.
You called him Brace Brown in the group. Like, come on, man.
No one reads. Just put it out.
No one reads. You know what you need, though.
What's that?
You know what you need. You need to hit up Jive Hive.
Oh, boy.
Because you are you a little bit stressed right now? Well, now you have Jive Hive. JiveHyve.com. Jive Hive. And what they are is a mobile dispensary on wheels, or virtual dispensary on wheels.
Virtual dispensary on wheels.
This is what's so cool about it. They've got convenient pricing because there's no brick or mortar stores. Nope. You know, they don't have to pay for all of that. What it is instead, you order it online and they deliver it to you.
Incredible.
Right to your doorstep. So you say, oh, you know, I want some of this flour, I want some of this thing, this over here, this is concentrate, whatever. There it is. Boom. Track it. Boom. Right there on your doorstep. You didn't have to go anywhere. And the nice thing is you have privacy and security. Some people have jobs that they don't want everybody knowing, like, that they like to, you know, partake.
Yeah, you're like,
lawyers, doctors.
Yeah, you're like, I'm the mayor of Denver. Am I allowed to watch?
Or maybe, like, I have a friend. He has this job. He's a podcaster.
Oh, man.
He podcasts on the Nuggets, okay?
Sure.
And, like, he's recognizable because he's so short. I don't want to say who it is.
Yeah, no, no.
He's a short guy.
No, no. I would vote that it would be a member of a podcast that is moderately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will not say who it is, but, you know, sometimes he would be in one of these places and people are like, hey, vote. I mean, sorry.
Hey, vote.
Vote in September. They would tell him that. And he was like, man, if only there was a place like Jive Hive, and they would just deliver it right to you. So Here's the thing. Visit Jive Hive, JiveHyve.com, Jive Hive, and get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window. Maybe you're just trying to plan ahead, like, you know, like you do groceries. You order them on Sundays or whatever. They'll be there to say hi. I like that line. You like that? Hi. Do you see that? I got that one in. Head over to Jive Hive and enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to your door. They're now serving Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. That's JiveHyve.com. Also want to tell you guys about, private internet access. This one is back for us.
Why would a person need a VPN?
That's a really interesting question.
Why would a person that lives in Denver need a VPN?
Why do you say that?
I don't know.
Well, guys, it's so funny you say that. You know, here in Denver,
sure,
it can be difficult to watch your own Denver Nuggets.
I don't know what that has to do with having a VPN.
So there's blackouts. Have you ever struggled to watch it from home? The incredible virtual private network, that's a VPN, like private internet access, can fix that. Private internet access helps you change your IP address's location to provide an extra layer of security when finding your favorite content. Would you ever just hand out your phone number, you know, or your laptop off to just anyone and let them peruse your search history?
Anyone who wants my phone number, just ask.
Would you? Really, just your search history. Like we could do that. Might make you rethink some habits. Stop internet service providers from invading your privacy or profiting off of your data. Private internet access is the world's most transparent VPN. With over 30 million downloads, you know you'll be able to trust them to keep your online life private. A single subscription allows you to protect up to 10 devices at once. You got phone, you got your computers, maybe you got multiple computers, who knows what you're doing. So if you want to enjoy all the benefits of private internet access, of course, personal security, personal privacy, and also, you know, you can make it look like you're somewhere else so you're not blacked out. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing you do.
If you wanted to watch something that was aired in Denver, you could...
Yeah, there you go.
Lie now, and say you're not in Denver, then somehow watch it.
Go to PIAVPN.com/nuggets. PIAVPN.com/nuggets and get a 83% discount. Seriously, 83%. That's just $2.03 a month. Wow. $2.03 a month. You get an extra 4 months completely free, but you must go to PIAVPN.com/nuggets. All right. Back here into segment two, and it's time for us to get into Bones a little bit. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. I feel like Bones' season can be broken into parts. Yep. The early part of it, he was shooting 50% from three.
He was great.
It was great, but at the same time, the plus minus was bad. He individually was great. The Nuggets were trotting out different lineups, it felt like, every night. DeAndre was playing a lot of minutes. Jeff Green was playing a lot. You know, there was like it was a little clunky there for a little bit. But he was making shots, and he was being very aggressive. I think he was taking more shots than anybody on the team on a per-minute basis. He gets sick, you know, he goes out, he comes back, and I think he immediately starts shooting like he was before. He's making less, and I think there was pressure to be like, hey, it's time to find an identity in that second unit, and it can't be just you taking lots of shots. Over the last 2 weeks or so, maybe it's been three, I don't know, I'd have to go back and look. I feel like he has made a very conscious effort to not shoot too much.
Right. He's like lost his identity.
He shot four times tonight. He went 0 of 4 over that, including 0 of 2 from 3. I feel like he is in this rut right now where he is trying to take the shooting away, but the shooting is by far his best skill.
Yep.
And it's a difficult balance to say, hey, we need you to shoot less and look more to facilitate, but at the same time, you have to stay aggressive. It's so hard to find where that trade-off is, and right now I just feel like we're getting almost the worst of both of Bones. He's just in a rut right now.
We're definitely getting the worst of Bones. Uh-huh. And it's just starting to bleed out. Like, he's been in a funk for a very long time. He has not played well in quite some times, and it's making that second unit not look so good. This is the worst that his shot has ever been, and it's now starting to affect other parts of his game. Like, anyone else, they're going to try to get other people involved, and I think that he's trying to do that. But when the shot's not falling, the other team's not believing you. On defense, he's horrible. Like, he's super bad. And this was a game where I felt like we've seen the worst of him on defense, and he's already been so bad. Yeah. And he's just too boom or bust. So it's about trying to make the game come a little bit easier for him, and he just does not have those type of things. He's a young player, but you don't see those pieces getting added to his game. He's behind Jamal Murray. He started to elevate his game, so you would think that he would pick up those parts of his game, but he's just not. Bones is in the worst. Like, it's worse than a funk, I think.
Yeah,
like, it's more. And I don't know how he gets out, of it besides making shots.
Yeah, he's in a dark place. You can see it. Like, his body language is terrible too. He'll miss a shot and he'll like just walk to the corner. His head will be hung low. Like, he will like pass the ball off and then he'll like kind of slowly trot over to the corner. Like, he's not. He's just in a dark place, man. I hate to see it because Bones is somebody that I obviously have been so high on, especially coming into the season. And he just, I don't know, like, he has such, like, such skill, but he's not able to tap into it right now at all. And he's like a huge liability. He's got to figure it out. Like, he has to.
I mean, definitely, there's no question he has to. What I think is interesting about it is he's playing right now. I mean, tonight was, like I said, the worst of both worlds. I feel like it is good for all players to go through these types of things because this is real growth. This is like real struggle, meaning the thing he is struggling with right now is not just that his shot is missing. It's that he is unclear what it is he's supposed to be doing. I think he knows like in the concept of it. Like, I got to distribute more and make my shots, but pick them better. But like how to do that, I feel like it's a thing he's never had to do before. He's always been on his team. Just score because you're the best player and there's nobody's going to tell you not to shoot. Like, Jamal Murray took 23 shots tonight. Nobody complains about that because he's the best player on the court. So you get free reign. Right now, Bones is not that. They need him to score in his spaces and figure out when not to and facilitate and also improve on defense. And he has a lot. And I feel like every young player goes through this moment at some point. He had a great rookie season. Things were easy for him. There's no expectations. Now he's in a season where the adversity is really, really hitting for the first time. And this is like, it's kind of funny. Like, this is the stress test.
Yep.
I don't know if he'll pass. I don't.
Yeah.
But this is the stress test where if he does, he'll come out a better player and probably more of the type of player that Denver needs. If not, then Denver's going to be in a real problem because they need a player of his ilk. Like, they need somebody there to be able to provide that spark.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, going on with Bones right now. And I think that he takes, like, the weight of the world on his shoulders. Yeah. And he doesn't have to. You know, like, I think he has a hand injury right now. His ankle has been, you know, having, you know, things like that. He also, like, I think he's, like, a player that rides the momentum but also rides the lows. And that's just not what type of player you have to be. Like, everybody knows that this is, like, a make-or-miss league. But also, shooters forget about their last shot. And right now, I don't feel like he's forgetting about his last shot.
But don't you think that he used to? I mean, he used to be able to get him up.
Oh,
but again, I think the way you forget about your last shot is you have a green light, a permanent green light. And he doesn't have that anymore.
Right.
Because part of what he needed to do was, like, take 14 shots a game. He needed to get that down to 9, right. 8, you know, like this or that. So it wasn't that he had a red light. It's just that he's trying. To me, the thing is he's having a hard time figuring out where that scale is supposed to be.
I know. And, you know, it can't be repeated enough. Like, this guy can shoot like very few can.
Yeah.
He has it in him, but he doesn't like his. It's just so obvious. Like, this is just, he is in his own head.
Yeah.
And like Dev said, I mean, he was held out the other day. He had a finger injury. I'm sure that, you know, having a hurt hand, the way that his specific shot is all wrist. He has like,
he I'm does sure have, that,
like,
yeah, you're right.
I'm sure like having, you know, one of your fingers hurts, like help, like it gets the ball offline like pretty easily. Anyway, it's, I hate seeing it because I'm such a Bones fan, but man, it's like, it's rough right now. He's got to figure some things out.
And David Adelman, by the way, you know, it's not Michael Malone. This is a new coach in here. David Adelman clearly did not have a lot of trust in that bench tonight. I mean, you get 11 minutes from Bones, 10 from Vladko, 22 and 20 respectively from Jeff Green and Christian Brown. But the starters are at 38 minutes, 37 minutes, 35. Like, starters played a lot of minutes for a regular season game tonight. I'm sure Malone is, like, sitting at home watching this game like, come on, man. You did a loss, and you ran him to the ground. We have a back-to-back on Tuesday.
Just rage turning the TV off.
You think he did? I wonder what Malone was like watching these games. It was probably rough. Yeah, he's got to watch him in the basement, like, far away from the kids. Far away from the family.
No, you probably have to just, like, play it off as if you're not, like, you're unbothered. Like, I'm getting time with my family.
Yeah,
and that's all we're worried about right now, you know?
Like, you think he's playing Chutes and Ladders stretched. Right now?
He's like, there's nothing more important than family in this world. Like, did you break your TV? He's like, that's not important, man. It's not important.
There's nothing worse than beating your kids at Chutes and Ladders, man. That's a game that's 100% luck. You know, it's just like whatever you spin and you get it or something, then you beat him and like he's so mad and you're like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like,
you got to spin back.
You got to spin. I just spun a six, and I keep going all the way. Oh, they get so mad about it. But it happens. Who else should we get to here?
Let's talk about Zeke.
Didn't we talk about Zeke?
No, we have not talked about Zeke. All right, Zeke.
Let's go. Double-double. First career
double-double. Look at
double,
this,
double.
Man.
Oh, look at this. King of the game. Look at that. Zeke. By the way, his first career double-double. You know that? 12 points, 10 rebounds.
It's probably his first career king of the game.
It might have been
this
his
was
first
definitely
king of the
his
game.
First career king of the game.
It might have been. He was tenacious tonight. Like, he honestly was the biggest reason that Denver stayed close. Like, at that moment where it was about to be untethered, he just kept coming up with rebounds.
Yeah, you want to talk about other guys not really stepping up? I feel like Zeke did exactly what was needed from him in this game. The Thunder, while they pounded the paint, they made sure to match their size. And it was Zeke that got the call up. It wasn't DeAndre Jordan, and Zeke really like stepped up to the plate. I mean, he did everything. Knocked down multiple three-pointers, which you love to see that going. A beast on the board, and just super active. Like, that activity is how you earn extra minutes. He got the start in this game and really stepped up for it. It's great to see him get some type of run, just because this is not a player that has played a lot. And going into the season, this was a player that had a lot of expectations. So to see him playing well, I think that is great, just because you're gonna need extra guys. You have back-to-backs. You're going to need those minutes. You have Jokic that is now sitting in games, so it's going to be other guys having to step up. And if you could go to your backup center, and it's DeAndre Jordan some nights or Zeke, this is what you need from your guy.
Man, like, I loved what I saw out of Zeke Nnaji tonight. He got so many tough rebounds. He played so big in big moments. He, like, got blocks.
Yeah.
The only, like, clear and obvious knock against him, which is the knock against all of the Nuggets, basically, is he missed free throws.
How many did he miss?
Four of eight,
yeah.
Which was brutal, but, like, this was, like, so encouraging because, you know, we've talked to, you know, the chatter around Nuggets Nation for the longest time is just like, what does this team need? You know, you need a backup big. Like, we don't necessarily have a backup big. And you see, like, Zeke play this way, you're like, I don't know, maybe we're okay, man. Maybe we got the guy. Like, knocking down three-pointers. And more than anything, just, I'll say, that tenacity. Zeke playing with the tenacity. I loved it. I loved what I saw out of Zeke. It's been a long time since I felt like this, like, excited about a Zeke Nnaji game.
Those wasn't two regular blocks. Those were, like, blocks of a guy just really wanting it.
Yeah.
Going over the top and just making it extremely difficult, using that size. He's stepping out on guards and being
his
able to hold
legit.
His own. Like, that was – this was Blocky. A game that you were like, okay, this is like a – him moving his feet. This is him making an impact on that end of the floor. And I think that's like a positive from this game. While their offense of rating wasn't there, the defense was still there. They're still, like, you know, making it extremely hard, and he was a big part of that.
Yeah. By the way, Zeke of the last seven games, 7 of 13 from three. He went 2 of 3 tonight.
Yeah.
He has three games where he went 1 of 1. So, like, his 3-point shot, it still looks rough. Like, I still don't love the way it looks, but he's starting to knock it down. And I think that is kind of a key thing. I see you vote. To me, I know a lot of people are like, what happened to a shot? What happened to a shot? He's only taken 31 threes this year. The variance level in 31 three-point attempts is like, you know, is so much. We got vote from the arena already. Everybody's already talked.
The other quick thing about Zeke is he was one of only two Nuggets that was in the positive tonight.
Really?
He and Bruce Brown were the only two that had positive ratings.
Not surprised by that, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was only a plus two.
I'm not surprised about vote being able to come on right now, because who does he usually wait for?
That's
Jokic.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Don't have
maybe
to wait
it's
for
not,
him.
Maybe no, Jokic is not the worst thing in the world if you happen to be a sideline reporter for the DNVR Nuggets.
Does Vogt have on a baby filter? Look how young he looks, man. This is the Vogt that I first met.
There he
this
is.
This is the first Vogt.
All right, you just want these game notes?
Let's do it.
All right, David Adelman, pretty positive note and tone overall, I thought. He said it was frustrating, but I thought we played extremely hard. I thought it was a game where we easily could have folded. Nothing was going our way. I'm proud. Losing always sucks, but you know, they played so hard and well in this game. And look, we all know why they lost this game. It's free throws. And I think, like, he didn't want to bemoan the process or the effort. And he highlighted the fact that, and I think this is a good point, when winning streaks end, they tend to end disastrously. And without Jokic, without Malone, without Porter tonight, that's not how this one ended. It was, it's. I'm not going to say it was a good loss, but I think it's a, as far as ways to end a winning streak, it could have been worse in that they kept the good process alive. And I think this game will sign his, and Adelman was making this point, this is true for me as well. I think this game will reinforce what they could have done better while also reinforcing what they did well. They know why they lost this game, and so onward. But he was proud of the effort. On the free throw shooting, he said, there's nothing you say about it to the team after that from a coaching perspective. He says, these guys have been through it. They're pros. It happens. Anyone who's played basketball knows sometimes those games happen. I think sometimes it puts more pressure on your guys when you see your teammates miss. On Zeke, he said it was the same thing I said the other night. He just played even better. What he said the other night was that Zeke did his job, talked about how well he played defensively, said it was all true against tonight, only he was even better. That is a note as well for me, guys. And we heard from Zeke tonight, podium game in the loss. He played really well. I think that's his first career double-double. So Adelman with more Zeke praise. On the last play, he was hoping they would miss a switch with KCP. It was kind of a ghost screen.
I saw it. He slipped it. He tried to slip it.
I was going to say, it doesn't really look like KCP ever really committed to even faking that screen, but whatever. The defense didn't really react to it. They didn't bite on it. And he said, maybe looking back on it, I should have had KCP set the screen. But the goal was getting Jamal a look the whole time. So we'll live with that part of it. On the defense on SGA, which was much better in the fourth quarter, the clutch defense was great again, and that would probably be the story, fellas, had they won. Of course, it's not. So their defense on SGA is so much better in the fourth quarter than the first half. And he said it was just about trying to give him a lot of different looks. But also with the help, SGA dribbles the ball a lot. He likes to take his time. He's a little methodical in the half court. And he says, so sometimes it's better to send that help late at him. You let him get set up, take a look around, dribble some time off the clock, and then you go. So he liked their approach on in the fourth quarter, but obviously a huge game from him. And looking back, maybe they should have been a little more aggressive a little earlier. Jokic was close to playing in this game. Same thing he said before last game. He said, look, it's not much, but they're just going to be really, really careful with him. Without Jokic on the floor, he thinks for the opposing defense, it's so much easier to switch 1 through 5 for them. When Jokic is on the floor, it's virtually impossible to do that. It's virtually impossible to go zone as well. And so that was one thing that was a little different without him out there tonight. And he says, look, everybody is a good coach in the NBA these days. And once they know Nikola isn't playing, you know, changes their entire game plan. And he thought they had a good one tonight. Bones was benched early in this game, but he did not go to the bench. I don't know if you guys saw that one. Adelman said that there was some discomfort. He went back to get some treatment.
Damn.
But he also said that he wasn't sure. But he also said that he wasn't sure what it was, and that he hadn't talked to anyone on the staff. So, some questions there. I mean, look, one way or another, Bones left that game, checked out, and walked right past the bench and went out. So, Adelman saying it was a medical concern. Maybe we'll hear more from Bones in the coming days. But on the win streak, he said it's been incredible, and that's why I'm so proud of the streak to end the way it did. A lot of times when streaks end, as I said earlier, you get blown out, but we did what we had to do. We did what we wanted to do. You know, they missed some shots tonight. They missed some free throws. Ultimately, everything about this, Adelman says, is a great experience. Michael Malone, fellas, is planning on making this trip. Considered returning tonight, wasn't in the cards. So no official timetable on that, but he may very well be back for that next game. He's at least going to travel with the team. Alvin said everything about it was a great experience. Unfortunately, that last play wasn't a game-winning play. It was just a play, but that was a good experience as well. Again, my goal was just to make sure Jamal got a chance. We heard from Zeke Nagy, who said, I think I've been offensive rebounding pretty well, but I've needed to step up my defensive rebounding.
That's true.
And that was his goal tonight, in place of Nikola, and he did a really good job doing that tonight, I thought. Obviously, again, his first career double-double. He did say, as far as the disparity between offensive and defensive rebounding, as long as we get the rebound, I'm okay. And Zeke is one of those guys where there are some rebounds where he did a pretty fine job boxing out. Someone else actually secured the ball. All the same, I agreed with his initial assessment that the defensive rebounding could be better. And that was that was an area of concern for him tonight. He doesn't really feel like missed free throws aren't contagious. He says not for him. He just missed those ones, but his mind is clear at the line. And then he talked about just kind of settling into his role here, and he says confidence wasn't an issue. It's just rhythm. And the more you play, the more you start to notice the patterns of your teammates. And I think that's really something to think about with Zeke is these short runways, the patchy playing time. You know, rhythm is the word that all these guys use, and I think maybe he's finally finding a rhythm, picking up on those patterns a little better now. He says on the offensive rebounding, it's all about doing your work early, and that's been his goal. And then defensively, he was willing to credit himself. You know, people talked about his versatility in the question, and he said, yeah, I love guarding the best guys. You know, and with SGA, he felt like he knows SGA wants to use that bump, wants to drive, use the bump to create separation in the second level or near the rim. And Zeke is fine with that because he knows that, and he feels like he has some size on him and some strength. So he enjoyed guarding SGA tonight. Jamal gave a good media session, but he was frustrated. The guy just doesn't like losing, you know, and that really showed through in this interview, but he was insightful. He said, look, you got a great look. I was hitting that shot all night, and that's why it's you guys know like I could have hit that one, and I should.
Really lost vote.
Well,
he must have been on a workout.
what an appropriate way for that.
Over something.
What an appropriate way for that to end, isn't it?
It appears so. Guys, DraftKings, the NFL playoff action continues. We go to the conference championships next weekend. What are our matchups? We got the 49ers and Eagles.
Is that right? Yep, 49ers
and Eagles, and then we got Cincinnati and the Chiefs. All right. Who do you got, Dev? Have you thought about it yet?
Not yet. This is a good one. Yo, this is a close one.
I got Bengals, baby.
Joe Burrow, he has never lost to Mahomes.
That's so crazy, man. Should be a great round. You know how you can make it even more fun? By heading over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. They got that great deal going on for new customers. When you bet $5, you get 200 in free bets instantly. You've also got those stepped-up same-game parlays, so you can bet on like five different things in the game. Then you get a little bonus. What? I was going to sneeze. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TMPR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
This show is a disaster.
You think so?
It's a mess.
You know what?
What's that?
If you've been in a disaster and you need some legal
if
help.
If I've been in a legal quagmire.
You know what you need to call? Backus and Shaker,
man.
The Jokic and Murray of law here in Colorado. When you get hurt, Backus and Shaker is here to help. Backus and Shaker wins for Colorado families, helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. Free until we win money for your case. No upfront fee to speak about you to speak with. What? No fee while we work on your case. No fee unless we win your case and win money for you. Backus and Shaker has won over $1 billion for their clients. And now they have more locations than ever, serving all of Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Inglewood, and Fort Collins. Backus and Shaker has the strength and power to win your case. More than 30 lawyers and 100 staff. So here's what you do. Backus and Shaker, you want to know the phone number for them? It's very easy.
Let me see if I can guess.
Guess it.
I would go 222.
Correct so far.
222222222.
Man, you were so close. 222222222. Backus and Shaker. Remember, they can take your free call to listen to your case, and they don't charge you unless you win. Do we have vote again?
He definitely went home. Right?
I think he called Jive Hive and was like, I'm out of here, man.
I was walking down.
My God. Well, there we go. All right. Well, back here. The Thunder in the playoff series.
Bring it on.
Oh, that would be fun.
Light work?
Oh, it'd be a waste. As was said of the Avalanche last year, playing in a playoff series against the Nuggets would be a waste of 8 days.
You think so? Well, here's the thing, man. Oklahoma City, with this win, I believe they now move into the play-in game. Let me see. Or at least they're tied with Golden State. I actually think it's interesting because I don't know what the Thunder are trying to do. Coming into the year, I thought maybe they would be trying to tank or whatever. Yeah. But they're too good to tank. Like, even if they started tanking now, they're not going to catch the tanking teams. So there's no point in them trying to be bad. I actually think they're good enough that why not get into the play-in? Why not get in there?
If they want to trade up and They could literally trade 5 first round picks for a
They easily could.
They have so many picks, it's disgusting.
Man, you know what? You're not wrong. And it's funny because you look at who do you think is going to make the play in between these three teams, who has the best chance? They could all miss. Lakers, Blazers, or the Thunder. How would you rank those, Dev, that most likely to make the play in?
Lakers, Thunder, Blazers.
You think the Blazers are the worst of those?
Dude, the Blazers blew.
We're going to get to it later. Oh, we're going to get to it later. I still think it's probably the Lakers as well, although the Lakers are further behind. But here's the thing, man. Maybe not. In the NBA, you do need superstars, but you also need, right now in today's NBA in particular, you need shooting. Lakers don't have that. You need length and defense. The Thunder have that, man. When I told you pregame that they have the 9th best defense, like, you saw it tonight. They know what they're doing defensively. Yeah. And by the way, those numbers are dragged down by the fact that Shea hasn't played every single night. I think the Thunder are...
They're fine, but I would welcome... It would be a sweep. Denver would sweep this team.
Oh, yeah. We're just talking about, do we... They are ahead of the Blazers. Can they make it? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So then let's say Thunder got in. Let's say Lakers and Blazers are out. And let's say Utah's out because they've been reeling. So you have Phoenix, Minnesota, Golden State, and Oklahoma City. As long as they didn't have to play the Warriors in the first of the play-ins, I actually like them against all those other teams. We'll see what Phoenix does. But Minnesota or Oklahoma City? I kind of like Oklahoma City. I think they're good. Who's going to guard Shea? Who's the most unstoppable player in a Minnesota versus Oklahoma City series?
Anthony Edwards.
No, he's not.
Yeah, it's not him.
It's not him. It's Shea. Shea's the third leading scorer
for right now. If the teams are constructed right, actually, yeah, Shea.
Even if they're not.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Like, you're right about the Thunder trade. I'd be very interested. You know, they're out of the Wemby sweepstakes, it appears. But
are they?
Well, I mean, they're.
But I mean, like,
they're too far ahead, man. Like,
could they trade into
the Wemby sweepstakes?
Yeah, no, they would have to give away nine first round picks and SGA.
Do it.
No team's doing that.
No, nobody's trading the Wemby pick, man. Like, yeah. I don't think you could trade Jokic for that or Giannis for it at the moment. Teams are like, you're too comfortable. But it doesn't matter. My point is, I think Oklahoma City is maybe in a position now where maybe it's time for them to get the next disgruntled guy. Maybe they're that team that's like, you know what? We got Chet coming back. Giddy's shown progress. Shea's a superstar already. Like, we actually are just one, disgruntled guy away. And why don't we do that?
It's true. I mean, like... God, who could they get? Like Zion?
No, it ain't gonna be like that. What if it won't even be like a Chris Paul? I was thinking like maybe they're not gonna get Ayton either. I don't know.
So many.
What if they were in the OG Anunoby sweepstakes though? Like that. You know what I mean? Like they just were like, it's not a star player, but they say, you know, Gary Trent Jr. and OG Anunoby are wasting away over there. Let's bolster our team with those types of players, those caliber players.
I mean, I think it definitely do that.
Then all of a sudden you're talking about not a contender, but a team that all of a sudden is better than these teams we're talking about at the bottom of the standing. So I'm with you, though. I think Denver, the thing is, Jokic has never had to go full tilt against Oklahoma City. In a playoff series, that's the mismatch. They're going to put Bazley on Jokic, 50 points.
Easy.
He's putting up 40 points.
Work. Yeah. Light work.
It is light work. I still think it would be like I think that would be an annoying series where Jokic would put up great numbers, but that Denver just wouldn't score like they usually do. Because that is a good. They're just smart. They're long. They make the game ugly. You guys are nervous. All right, here's the next one. You're not nervous. I mean, you shouldn't be nervous. Here's the next one. Free throw shooting.
Oh, God.
Is there a real problem for the Denver Nuggets?
No, there's not, man. This is like, we don't have this conversation every night. It was awful tonight.
Well,
it was terrible.
It's funny you bring that up because they are the number one 3-point shooting team in the NBA. They're the number 5 2-point shooting team in the NBA. They're the number 26 free throw shooting team NBA.
Man,
that's rough.
It doesn't even correlate.
They're good at shooting, just not free throws.
Yeah, good shooters usually make free throws.
Now, some of this is who gets fouled, and Aaron Gordon gets fouled, you know, a decent amount. And he's not a good free throw shooter, but nonetheless, man, like, look, I don't think this is a huge deal, but I do think that there is a little bit of Aaron Gordon shooting 63% from the foul line. If I was another team, I wouldn't be doing hack a Gordon, but I would be like, every time he gets he gets it underneath the, you know how he goes up and dunks on everyone, wrap him up every time.
It looks like that they're starting to do that now. I think that defenses are starting to adjust to that and not allowing him to just power through. I think he's just so powerful that he still does it. But they're like now making it a fact to get him to the free throw line, especially as of late where he has the ball in his hands a lot more. So, his free throw shooting specifically is a problem. And You want to keep him on the floor. You have to keep him on the floor. So it can be something that, like, bites you, you know, later on. So he really does have to answer that soon. Like, he has to fix that.
And I think Zeke, too, man. Like, if you're he appears to be playing more and more minutes. Those two guys, I would just be like, you're not just fouling them, but every time they're inside, I would just foul them. And it disrupts the rhythm even. Like, tonight was a bit of a slog because the Nuggets were at the foul line the whole time. It just felt like you couldn't get any traction going. So I'm with you. I'm not super concerned with it, but I do think it's a thing that I would love AG just to start making his free throws. Some of them are ugly, man.
No, you, AG, you live on a basketball court. You're not allowed to go to sleep until you hit 50 free throws in a row every night.
So none of these things really make you guys nervous about any of this. What about just wrapping it up? This homestand, you know, we talked about, I kept using January 23rd because I looked at the schedule in these blocks, right? I've always done this. And I thought, okay, they have all those home games, and I predicted they'd be the number one team. Sure enough, they are in sole possession. You know what's funny, actually? Rewind to December, whatever it was that this all started, like December 7th or something, when they started to get the home games. I think what we talked about, if we were to go find the clip, was, will they overtake the Suns?
Right.
They were like,
Just barely.
I think Denver will pass the Suns for the number one seed out west. They
just barely did it.
And in that time, the Suns have absolutely collapsed to 24 and 24. We're
like, will the Blazers pass the Suns?
The Blazers were number one for a while. And anyway, Denver not only passed them, they passed everybody, and Memphis is the team. But I look back at this stretch. It sucks that they lost this game. You know, Jokic wasn't there. But I look back at this stretch and go, I had lofty expectations, and it went better than I thought.
Man, that's just it. Like, we're guarded. Our hearts are guarded. We've been through some shit together, all of us. Nug life is the only life for me. But it's different this year, man. It's different this year.
You feel different?
Things feel different this year. Even, like, again, like a night like tonight in years past, like, the Nuggets would have just been like, had to come up with like 100 different excuses to why they just got blown out by the Thunder. We're like,
right.
Well, it's not a back-to-back, but they're coming up to a back-to-back.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, like, if you think about it, there's a lot of way, whatever. But, like, they almost won this game. They really...
I will say this. Jokic did get the ham injury, came off of a back-to-back, and it was the third set of back-to-backs in the month of January. Yeah. And, like, that's just one thing you have to always be cautious of is when you have a lot of them in a row, it does seem like little things start to pop up here and there. We have some super chats, Kale.
Yep.
The sicko super chat during a loser's round.
Oh, my God, dude. I love it. This is like the sicko road roll call. If you want to know who the sickos are, here they are.
Terrence and Lou says, on the bright side, Jokic is undefeated against the Thunder this year. Well, there you go.
Dude. All right. Listen, our man,
I like the bright side.
The brightest of sides.
That is a bright side. I'm with you, man. Joe says, Murray is at an all-star level player. I think we are seeing that he has superstar potential.
Oh, yes.
He's only 25. In his late 20s and early 30s, he will be nice. He's nice, nice right now. I'm telling you, this is his, like, making the move. This is the ascension of Jamal Murray. And that's why I want to be critical of, like, my expectation is that he is one of the best guards in the playoffs by the time the playoffs arrive.
Man, I want him to get back on that Devin Booker.
Yep. He was right there.
Yes.
Who else was it? There was one other we were talking about. Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell
and Donovan Booker. As Murray, Mitchell, Booker were all like.
That was next up.
And now they both have 70-point games.
God damn it. Why you got to say it like that?
Murray's going to have a 70-point game.
All right, let's go.
Right here, Cannon says, sit them in a gym only shooting free throws for a day. Everybody is a high school coach at heart.
I know. We're like, oh, you know what
the Nuggets... I would have them on the line.
You know what the Nuggets need? Yeah, you know what the Nuggets need? Push-ups. Yeah, until they puke.
Do I want to hear the Buffalo? Are we going to miss free throws? in the clutch again? All
right, they do. You're right, though. They got to, I mean, whatever.
Whatever. Really sad news coming from the MPJ camp tonight. Hope everything comes out okay and MPJ can mentally recover. Tough night, but Nugs are tougher. LFG. From Danny. Yeah, it was reported earlier at the Denver Post that Michael Porter Jr.'s brother was in a car accident and has been arrested, apparently. So the only news we know is of reckless driving. There was a fatal car crash.
You're right. So
that family going through turmoil. And obviously our thoughts to everybody involved in that. And that will be, I think it's not the time to really wonder about that, but it is something that probably will be a storyline in the coming days, weeks, maybe even.
I mean, if you could just imagine putting yourself in that position, like somebody in your life is in that high level of, like, a dramatic, I mean, like, this is, that's life, real, life-altering. That is real life stuff, man.
Yeah. S. Williams, number two, says Zeke, half nugs with
one of the two nuggets that were in the positive.
Oh.
And then he's frustrated about that last shot. Pissed off, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a great last shot.
It was a horrific.
Can I tell you what, though? I hate to say this. Shea, he's coming for that Jerry West.
Get lost.
He's got a butt. I think this was like his third game winner. You think he's going to get the West
over Jokic?
Jokic wasn't out there tonight.
God damn it.
What else we got? He's coming for that Jerry West. What's Smatta says? Sicko mode. All nugs are gold. I was at ball tonight. Let's go. You are a sicko. I'm in, man. And super chatting. We love you guys, man. Dream Weaver says fourth quarter D is why we are destined for greatness. You know, we didn't talk about it, but that's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up.
It's true.
Jamal's last shot of the game is the least of our worries. All nuggets are good. Jokic times three.
There's nothing better than a positive super chatter and the time seemed dead.
In all sincerity though, that fourth quarter defense was legit, man. Sure. They locked up. They got serious. Denver kept like missing free throws and I'm like, damn it, that was their chance. And then they'd come down and get another stop. And you're like, well, they keep getting stops, I guess. We'll see. Although they could have made their free throws. Right. And then to round it out, the homie Gordon Glasner says for $27.99 Canadian, we played damn good overall defense. And that's all. Man, you know what? Stay positive, Gordon. I love it, man. Dude, that Gordon's positive energy. Guy, man.
And Gordon had to love the confluence of great Canadian talent on the floor tonight. We had Shea, we had Jamal Murray.
That's
and
true.
Lou Dort.
I'll bet he was going crazy up there in Canada.
Dort!
I'll bet he was going crazy. Guys, when we get back from this last break, we're going to go around the association because there's some big notes. We'll go quickly around but there are some good notes here. First, I want to tell you guys, Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting courtside? Well, you could do it now.
So many dreams.
You have so many dreams.
I sat courtside one time.
How was it?
It was incredible. I have a picture of the back of Wilson Chandler's leg.
How was that leg?
There was a tattoo on it. I was like, it's right there. And I thought, rather than touch it, I would take a picture.
That would have been really weird.
And then also, the ball was thrown into the crowd, and my friend tried to stop it, knocked his wristwatch off.
Well, one thing you can do is you can hop on the Game Time app right before you procrastinate. You hop right before the game starts. Maybe a lot of people were selling their tickets. They saw Jokic was out, saw Porter was out. They're like, you know what? I'll sell tonight. You hop on there. Maybe you could have gotten a great deal on courtside seats. You never know. So if you love DNVR, then you're going to love Game Time. The best way to support us is buy tickets through the link in the description of the show right there on YouTube. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. Lastly, I want to tell you about Breckenridge Brewery. You guys know there might be, you might have looked around at some of the staple amber ales. I love amber ale. Did I tell you that? There's some, you know, you've had a new go-to and it's no longer out there. Some people have gotten rid of it, but you know what? Breckenridge Brewery is not one of those places. They have the Avalanche Amber Ale. Still there. Still one of their go-tos. And you know why?
Some people got a flat tire.
Some people got a flat tire on their Amber Ale. But not Breckenridge Brewery. Why? Because they know it's the unofficial beer of fall in Colorado. And you'll say, Adam, but it's winter. It's always fall state of mind in Colorado.
In your heart.
In my heart. If I were to go through Breckenridge Brewery real quick and tell you the beers of the season.
Let's power rank them.
Fall.
Sure.
Avalanche Amber.
Yep.
Winter. Vanilla Porter Jr.
Okay.
Spring.
Yep.
The Mile High City Golden Ale. And then the summer. The Strawberry Sky. Tell me I didn't just nail that.
Holy smokes.
Did I not just nail that?
Holy smokes.
With a caveat to Mountain Beach in the summer every now and then. Yeah, why not?
The summer you kind of oscillate a little bit.
Same thing, the week of Christmas, you can also get the Christmas ale. Like that's another little caveat. Check them out. You guys know, go to breckbrew.com to find out to find the Breck Brew locator and find out if there's a beer new year. And then guess what? This Friday, we're going to be doing our show live from the farmhouse.
It's going to be cool as hell.
It actually is going to be cool as hell. They have great food down there. I haven't eaten there personally for like 9 months or something. I can't wait to go down there. I don't know. I might. They said, come down. We'll get you guys some food. They don't know how much I eat.
Yeah, this is a tactical error.
That was a very tactical error when they find out
were made.
That I love all of the food on their item on their menu. All right, guys, to round out the show, there is one piece of silver lining that I think it's important for us to talk about, and that is that the Nuggets were only one game up on Memphis tonight.
Sure.
So now with the loss, they're tied. Unless there's something around the association I don't know.
I know.
Dev, why don't you walk us through?
Well, something happened in that game.
What happened?
The best thing that could have happened for the Nuggets.
What?
Memphis lost the game.
What?
112 to 110. Point guard came back into the game.
So gross.
He plays so many like minutes. I'm actually shocked that like he's been hurt for so long. He come back in and go straight to 38
they're
minutes.
Like, let's
they
have
need it so bad.
They're like, let's have him play, but like for five games before he gets hurt again.
Yeah. They needed the win and they got it. In this game, Chris Paul had 22 points, 11 assists. Mikal Bridges had 24 points. Torrey Craig, our guy, Torrey Craig, helped. Did us a solid. He had 20 points in the game. That's a wild one.
Holy smokes.
On Memphis' side of things, it was Ja Morant who had 27 points. Desmond Bane had 24 points. They continue to play well. But they lost that one.
Hold on.
How do you say his name? Aldama?
Santi Aldama.
Aldama. There you go, actually. 11 minutes in the game, minus 22.
That's bad. That's really bad.
I've got breaking news here.
What is it?
Gordon, not Canadian.
Wait,
he's
what?
He's from Colorado. I don't know.
Why does he always send us Canadian
dollars? This is unfolding before me. I don't know. I'm reporting it as it comes in.
Gordon, almost every day, super chats us somebody. Canadian dollars.
He must be in. Dude, I don't know. I don't want to report on it too early. I'm sorry, Dad.
That's too amazing.
Yeah, that was a doozy.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
Do we want to continue?
Yeah, let's keep going around.
I don't even know. I'm not paying attention. Say whatever you want.
Go quickly around though. We gotta go quickly. Yeah. The people want to get started on their week.
All right, so Clippers beat Dallas.
Dallas is sliding a little.
112-98. Kawhi, he played in this game.
Yeah, and he played well.
For real. 30 points. Paul George had 21. On their side of things, Luka had 29 points, 10 rebounds. He was a minus 23 in the game.
So
pretty much a blowout.
Man, you know what's weird, though? The Clippers, the goddamn Clippers, man, are like within striking distance of the five seed.
Yeah, it happens. So Miami beats the Pelicans 100-96, low scoring game.
That's
a
good.
A lot of defense in there. Yep, that is good.
Our buddy Christian Clark, I want you to know, he wrote a big article about how Brandon Ingram hasn't been playing. He's got this toe issue, and it's like, hey, what's taking so long or whatever? No sooner does he write it, Brandon Ingram starts practicing.
God damn it. And another big news story, our bar staff is closing to sea shanties.
It's been this way for like 30 minutes. Have you not noticed?
I just want to make sure everybody understands the reality in which we live.
Yeah, it's been an interesting.
Yep, Tyler Hero had 26 points in this game.
Yeah, we don't care.
This was a pretty balanced game. The Toronto Raptors beat the Knicks.
We don't care about that game either at all. The Raptors are sinking. Both of those teams. Oh, by the way, the only news from this one is somebody reported there were scouts from like every NBA team at this game. Take that for what you will.
Yeah. One that does matter, Brooklyn beat Golden State. So Golden State takes the loss.
That's a comeback win.
120-116.
They keep losing.
Yep. Kyrie had 38 points in this game.
Guys, I have a confession. My most off-brand take.
Oh, God.
My most off-brand take I could possibly have is that I freaking love watching Kyrie play.
Oh, man. everybody agrees. They just don't say it out loud.
He is so freaking...
Yeah, you said the quiet part out loud.
No, he's so dumb. Like, he makes the worst decisions or whatever.
Part. That's the loud part.
But, my God, the body control, the skill level, the it's part. Unbelievable. He's amazing, man.
Yeah. To finish us off before we get out of here, the game that matters, the one that everyone wants to talk about.
Let's talk.
The Lakers beat Portland in this game.
Dude, Portland was up 20-plus points.
The halftime score was 46-71.
They were up 25?
The Lakers had 13 points in the second quarter to 45 points on Portland side of things.
Wow.
In the second frame alone. 46-71. They lose the game. 121-112. So it wasn't even a close game after that. Blowout completely. Second half just horrible. This was the worst like loss of the year for them.
That was at home that was at home too, man. Imagine being at home. Your team outscores you. Your team outscores the opponents 45-13 and a quarter. You're at half. You're up 25 points, and you lose that game,
dude. They are gonna have a team only meeting. Nothing but the team, a couple of growlers. Trying to get straight.
It's like, where's he going with this? You think they're going to grab some growlers?
They have to. I'm telling you, they have to get right.
In this game, LeBron had 37 points, 11 rebounds, so he's creeping up on that record. Thomas Bryant had 31 points, 14 rebounds. Dennis Schroeder had 24 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. So they just really did it. On the other side of things, it was Anthony Simons with 31 points. He has 7 three-pointers in the game.
All in a
Damian
row.
Damian Lillard had 24 points, 10 assists, 3 of 13. If you think that there were shenanigans in this game, it was. Last game, it was Shannon Sharpe that they had that going on.
Oh, my God.
You seen this one? Patrick Beverley and Lillard were getting, like, they were actually going at it for, like, the entirety of the game. Patrick Beverley is trash talking to watch. Lillard even, like, threatened that he was going to whip his ass. Like, this was one of those, like, real playoff-type games for two teams that won't even make the play-in. This was their playoffs.
That's amazing. God, I hate Pat Beverley.
We're going to have to talk about the Shannon Sharpe stuff on tomorrow's show.
We should absolutely try to acquire Pat Bev. I can't stand him.
You don't want him, though.
That's how I know he would be an asset.
No, I don't think that's true. What is he going to play over?
I don't know, Adam. I'm not thinking clearly.
Hit that outro music there, Kale. Everybody, we enjoyed the weekend watching the games with you. Nuggets now start a very road-heavy stretch beginning on Tuesday, but we begin a new week tomorrow with a show at 2 o'clock. Off-day shows are also really interesting and insightful, and there's no shortage of things to talk about as we start to prepare for what basically feels like the third phase of the Nuggets season. They had a road-heavy phase. They had a home-heavy phase. Now they have another like big, challenging phase ahead. We're going to start talking about all of those things tomorrow on tomorrow's show. Should be really good. So be sure to check those out. Hit the like button on the way out.
Let's go. We'll see you tomorrow.